We're up to page Sin Sadik Hey, Bas Yud. So, I began to explain this last week. One of the most frightening avedas in the Torah is, which unfortunately we step on it, and it causes, I think in English you say havoc, is Lushan Hara. Spreading gossip. I literally witnessed this week someone, Shalom Bayis, just suffered terrible. Someone, you know, just spoke gossip. Mom is just Lushan Hara. And, you know, let me just begin. The Rav says, Amaragel Bechaveiroi. Maragel means, the word maragel means a person who's carrying. See, there's two things, Lushan Hara. I say to someone, you know, this guy's son walked into McDonald's. Nothing to do, not hurting anyone. He's not a reform guy. And I saw that, I saw him having an affair. Some kiss on the one guy, I'll never forget this, a guy called me up. And this was before the cell phones. He says, I passed by in a very, very far in the valley. I have business there, you know. And this guy who davens with him in one shul, see him holding a lady's hand, not his wife. And he gives her a kiss and says goodbye. You know, I am going to tell the wife right away. So I tell him, you're over Lushan Hara. He couldn't believe, I'm Lushan Hara. I told him, he says, the wife has to know. The wife is going to find out for sure the no hope for Shalom Bayis there. And you know what's going on? It's not your business. Don't be such a tzaddik. Don't be, you know, all of a sudden he'll be home. You know, that's really Lushan Hara. That's also probably the Chilis too. The Chilis means, is Bayis said, you know what he said about you. He said about you so-and-so. Or he said, you know, he's planning to do something to you. He's planning not to invite you to the wedding or so-and-so. Carrying from one person to another person to make a machlekes. Moshe Doig went and told Shaul. You know the story. Doig told Shaul that what's his name was David was hiding in the house of Noiv Irekahanam, Beis Achimelech, the Noiv Irekahanam. So that was the rechilas because he said bad about them. He said bad. He carried the as we say. And for that reason, the city of Noiv Ir Akahana was destroyed. It's a frightening thing. So he says like this. You know, Lushan Hara, I just want to re-emphasize this. Lushan Hara is when it's the truth, not when it's a lie. The story that I said, this guy saw the guy doing something very inappropriate. Okay, that is the truth. This is not. No one disagrees with the truth, but you are not allowed to say if it's going to hurt someone. And it's not going to help often people, young people, people already my age know that. This young people think it's important to tell the wife because then she's going to, don't be such a tzaddik, don't worry about them, you know, stay out of it. I know people don't like when I say this. I got flack for this once already from a different place. I just want that there's a love in the Torah of Lushan Hara. So if you see so, the Gemara says, you have a right to dislike him. The posting in the Torah. You see your friends, your enemies, donkey caving in, then you have to help them. So the Gemara has to cash, but you hate him. Torah doesn't talk about sinners. Is that I saw myself that he did an aveda. Rashi says, what aveda? I saw him do Gilad Oyes. No one saw. But I'm not allowed to tell anyone. And no one's allowed to even believe me. That's what separate learns soon. But you're not allowed to say, and if you're told you can't believe it, that's Lushan Hara. The only time you could tell someone if it's negeya for him to be careful. You tell someone a guy wants to hurt you. You should know you're coming to shoot, he's gonna beat you up. Something like that. But it's just
taking the word of people are ready, because sometimes it's a help their health issue.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I don't think people were worried about the health issues. I don't think so.
If it is,
that's true, but I don't.
So barring that example, if they don't make it, you're not allowed to
coach. I had, the truth is, all truth, a therapist once asked me, the guy confided in him that he contacted a sexual disease because he was he did it with a prostitute. And he asked me, you know. Because he said he told him he has to tell his wife to protect him. He wasn't going to tell. He was a firm therapist with a firm patient. He literally got, how about the name? It's not AIDS, whatever it's called. You know, one of these sexually transmitted. But again, that's not what people have in mind. You see a guy having the fear with a normal lady, you know. No, but he had a problem. He legally couldn't tell anything. And he could lose his license, he told me. And he could sue him. Toyota, Apitoyota, yes, he's obligated to say.
Even on the expense of his license?
No, that was the question. He's not mechiv to lose his license for that. Not mechiv to lose his panasa for that. So, it was not Samad. He told me it's a very irritating disease. It's not. There for sure. AIDS, of other things, to say. Samad Amarecho. Yeah, well, those there, yeah. I don't know, but this was just. Let me explain this. It's very good what Yisrael is asking. I once spoke about it over here. Now let me explain this. This is a question that everyone asks. And, you know, let me start again. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Neder. The Gemara says that, I forgot the names of Yochanan. There was a guy named, this man of Bais, beginning of Bais Sheni. And there was Gedalia. The Pesuk says that Gedalia, they found a pit full of murder victims, and the Pasuk says, you know who killed them? Gedalia killed them. Wasn't sure, he wasn't killed, huh? You know what happened? He got a message that Yochanan, some of the name Yochanan, is coming to wipe out the Jews over there, and he says, I don't believe the Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara? I don't believe this gossip. How could he, I don't believe this gossip. So then when it says, he didn't take action, not only didn't believe, lemeches means you should worry, maybe it's true, because he didn't take action, the Torah, the Novi calls him, he's the murderer. He should have said, I don't know what's 100% true, but you should take action, be careful when it's coming, be prepared. He wasn't prepared. This is what I explained by the sexual abuse. People always ask me this question. Literally, one of the Chabad Shliach called me from some place that someone told him to call me. Well, you know, the guy knows that this guy, he's a grown person today, but came out that he sexually molested someone when he was just a few years younger. So what am I supposed to, you know, I said, he's supposed to tell the people in the shul. He hangs out with it. And you have to tell them that there's accusation, and don't let your children, and don't let them come over to your house. You know, there is someone says that this happened. It's that shot. I don't know. That one guy says for sure it says happened to his wife. He can't believe that neither. Because Lamechus, he has to be cautious that he is a molester and to tell the people that he hangs out with that he's a molester. That's the typical question. Exactly.
Are you allowed to believe it?
You're not allowed to believe it. You're not allowed to believe it. You don't know the truth. It's extremely fine line, and what I found when I began to look into sexual abuse, why most people have such a hard time believing it, so they say, it can't be. So they don't, but the Gemara says, you know what the Gemara comes out? If you know of such a thing, and you don't report it, you call the molester. The Pesuk says, Gedalia was the murderer. So the Gemara says, he wasn't the murderer. He just didn't take action. How you say in English, inaction, being passive is like the Torah considers that you're the murderer. So it's very fine line, but you're saying it's an incredible fine line, especially for rabbis when we hear all the stories. I have to say, I can't believe it. It's much easier at my age already because I've seen people say stories to me, and it turned out the whole story was different. You know what I mean? I just had a Saturday night, and the whole street is talking about something. The whole story is a different story. I don't get details. The monetary things, the two partners. You know what people say, what people, you know, and and he cannot be lying. No, he's not lying. He left out a very important detail. He didn't lie. Everything he said was the truth, but he left out one sentence. Changes the story.
In all cases, you can't believe it, but in some cases where it's damaging another person, or potentially damaging...
You don't believe it? Lemeichesh. How do you say lemeichesh in English? Suspicious. You don't believe it, but you have to take action.
But the determining factor is if it's hurting somebody else.
Yes. Right?
No, they saw
the guy going, the guy was holding another lady's hand on the street and kissed her goodbye and walked to the car, obviously. So, you know, he knows his social, he knows him. This action traces it, man. But see, that is not negaya. Nothing, by telling her, not telling her, is only make things worse. Like, what do you mean? How do you know she's going to be hurt? How do you know?
Maybe she has a lawyer.
How do you know? You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know that. You're not obligated to say, not I mean, you shouldn't say. You don't know what's going on. You never know what's going on. So, but you said something that's a gay, he's a molester, a guy in business. This happened one time, a guy called someone to the interpreter. I said, Dini Shemayim, you have to pay. And we bezin cannot mechayev you to pay. He didn't tell this other guy, this guy is a gamer. Dini Shemayim has to pay him. It means to say, I told him to Bezdin, we could do that. He called him up, asked him, you know him, can I trust him in business? Can I give him credit? Yes, I know him, he's a great guy. And he himself lost $200,000 by him.
He wanted to, I don't know exactly.
He said, give him another chance. That's what he said in Bezdin. I thought I'd give him another chance. He's a mensch by now. He didn't ask him, he's a mensch by now. He asked him, do you have good credit? If he's going to be a mensch now, not going to be, that wasn't the question. So, he, api halucha, do you know that Dinu Shemayim, he is chayv to pay him the $200,000. It's really frightening. But he didn't want to say, he told me, I thought it was Lashon Hara. We have in my community, and we had a horrible story where a guy, I said it more than once, and the guy who borrows takes my people, they already know, but it used to be people didn't know. He said, takes a loan from here, I never pays anyone back. So I told people, it's called a bar b'shis rab. You know, a bar b'shis rab means a pit in the middle of the street. Because... But he, temporarily, he paid people. For over 20 years, he paid interest. This guy just takes a loan and never pays back. You know, and it's a one-way street. So that's a mission to tell people. But things that are not negaya, no one's business, you're not allowed to say. And, you know, that is, you know, this is very important because people carry Lashon Hara and machlikas come and hurt feelings and people have asked me, on Facebook is no Lashon Hara. Of course there's Lashon Hara on Facebook. That's the biggest Lashon Hara. Facebook and, you know, whatever it's called, social media, you know.
I apologize, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm thinking to myself in this example you gave with the man who had, you know, holding hands up from man, holding hands with another woman, etc. We have the basis, one of the basis of our cardinal sin is adultery.
Yeah, but let's start this way. Let's say it would be adultery. Let's just say she's married. He has no idea. She looked like a, you know, lady with, look like a, has no idea who the lady was. But let's say it was adultery. So what? I mean, so that has nothing to do. No one is allowed to believe you, and they're not gaining anything. No one is allowed to believe you in saying that. And second of all, you never know what they did. The Gemara, let me tell you an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, imagine you see Reuven, camping out in Marriott for 2 weeks with a lady. So your first thing would say, you think they were playing chess every night? What do you think they were doing? So the Torah says, the Gemara says, ain't osur malayichet. If you just saw them alone, you have no idea if there was anything there, anything happened. You know, we don't know. Now, even if it did happen, that has nothing to do with his wife and the Shalom Bayis. You know what I mean? Let's say he did the worst sin. Doesn't mean anything. You don't not say because he could have, he'll do tshuva, people change. whatever the situation is, but doesn't. If it wouldn't be adultery, let's say you saw eat in McDonald's. I don't think people get so upset. People get upset at sex all the time a lot more. Let's say you're talking, you saw a mamish walk in.
But
that's not your business.
You saw somebody eating at McDonald's. Can you tell somebody else the same problem is not, you can't eat at his house, for example?
No, because his wife? Yeah, then you're right. If you know someone who eats by his house, yes, then you tell him you can't trust his conscience. They can't trust his conscience. If you know his friends eat over, can't trust. Yeah. Yes. Only
to
get.
To tell that man, hey, you're doing something. Wrong.
If you know you could do something, you know, if you know your words, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago.
That's why.
That if you know by speaking to him, something will change. Let's just be honest. I don't think most of us don't know how to do that. You don't know how to do that. No, but see, say that if many people know about it, then the shoygig, if you said it, is not Lashon Hara. But if you said to three people not to get, then you know, then they're not allowed to say it. That's clear. That's Lashon Hara. That's Achilles. If you said clearly, you know, you shouldn't say it. I used to tell my children when they were growing up, if you tell your friend not to tell someone, you're guaranteed they're going to say it. The young. The Gemara says the three people. There's such a Gemara. The Gemara says if you say in front of three people, if he said it over in a shoyig way, he's not responsible. You're not allowed to go lahachis. The drop is going to bring you down. Solution Rambam. But if you happen, you said it. It's not solution Hara. He says since people know about it, let's say you. Yes, okay. So if someone tells me that, you know, I don't look at the news, but someone told me, you don't look at the news. No, I don't look at the news. Someone was arrested last week in Lakewood. So don't you look at this and that. I don't look at websites, you know. But I come to the shul. Everyone knew about it. They arrested another guy because of hitting a get, another story. You know, but, you know, but today looks like people know where to look to hear all the arrests and then all the, you know what I mean? So, but if you go and say it over, you know, the doctor, you know, like, you know, to be, then,
Well, I think what you're saying is, once somebody else told you, someone would have to put it on
business. So, quote the Chofetz Chaim. So, Chofetz Chaim says, you're not allowed to, if you have a mind to spread it. If it came out in conversation, it's okay. But you, let's say, I it's burning in my mouth. I gotta tell my wife. You know what I mean?
I always.
Why did you show it?
So I know there's an article out there about a certain person. Am I allowed to read it? Just like going on to any news website.
Right.
What's the difference?
See, you're allowed to read it if remotely it's negative for you. You know, I mean, if it's not negative, you're not supposed to. I say negay in English. Relevant. Let's say, as a rabbi, it was good that I knew about this new arrest. I needed to know. But that's weird. But something is not relevant, nothing to do. Let's say the article says he was arrested as a molester in this community. You know, that's very important for me to know. But if it's a community in Australia, they're busy with these things. I have nothing to do with Australia. What do I have to do with Australia? You know, I don't even know anyone in Australia. You know what I mean? What is it gay for me?
Reading the article is
considered like you're not supposed to read it if it's mamish no relevance for you. If that's your intention, but most of us is just not the intention. You know. But because you're not, the Chofetz Chaim says you're not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara only if it's relevant. The relevant, and then you'll see another belief. You have to say maybe.
Do you use the publicized stories that you can?
Can't. Chofetz Chaim Paskins.
all these Jewish websites are repeating all the stories and like that.
The guy was arrested. What is in the gay fuss? He was arrested cheating the taxes. What is that in the gay fuss? The only thing that is important, if he's a molester, so people should know. That's, that I do believe is important. So maybe, but if a guy cheated taxes, he was arrested for not paying child support. I had someone arrested in my community recently. Then you realize you could arrest him not paying child support and the whole thing.
Is there a gay lockup?
Yeah, it's Lashon Hara. That is Lashon Hara. Or post the picture.
Let me pose a different area. A couple in the community gets engaged. They're going to get married, and then it turns out, a few weeks go by, whatever happens, the engagement's off. And there's a benefit.
Tell people it's off. Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. Right? The question, I had a much more serious question. If they're engaged, you know something that's terrible. You know, the chassan doesn't know, the caliph doesn't know. Are you allowed to say that? Yeah, so I tell them, it depends what the situation is. I had one time I had the situation, I said, for sure you should go say, you're saving a person from incredible heartaches. You know, depends what this thing is. Just because the person had a wild youth, you know, not everything is, but something that's negayah, you know. One case was, and they didn't tell him. I said they should tell him, and years later, and the couple itself is terrible. How do you say it in English? He owes, takes loans and he doesn't pay back, and then he gets into trouble, and half the world is after him for the money.
If he's holding another woman's hand.
When he's engaged?
Yes.
Yeah. If you see it, yes, you could tell him. Because if they're only engaged, there's nothing that's going to happen. So he breaks off the engagement. Once he married, once a person is married, someone asked me, Mamish, today this question. So once a person is married, and you're in, like he was asking, you find out that he was having an affair. And how she wants a get? You can't force a get for that. I know people, a woman hate that. You cannot.
For adultery, you can't force
You can't force a get. It sounds, but that's what they're going to. He says, I was sitting at an interior many, many years ago, and the guy was caught, there was no question he had any affair. He says he wants to do tshuva. He wants to put back his marriage.
Okay.
And you know why the marriage fell apart? Not because she told it to everyone. She was dead embarrassed. Embarrassed, she told us, I'm so embarrassed to go back to him after I told all my friends. There wasn't all the friends. She only told two of her friends, but from two friends became the whole community. And she didn't want to go back, not because she didn't want to go back. If the Lushanada wouldn't have spread, she would have taken him back. Because she realized, whatever the reason was, realized
maybe, that... On that premise, maybe you can tell the guy, or tell the woman, look, your husband might be pulling around. The first time, maybe it'll be a private situation, and then it can stop.
You don't know. You're taking a risk that this might end the marriage. You have no idea who the lady is, what power or not. But he's asking, when once they engaged, yes, he's engaged and he fools around. While he's engaged, but I was also once asked that question. And, if the person is sick, he doesn't tell the people he's not well. You know, there was one time a guy suffers from diabetic, and I said, also you have to say, the diabetic people cannot do the mitzvah, cannot be intimate if you're diabetic and if you know illnesses. But it's very difficult for them. They're very difficult, diabetic. So, you know, you can even force a get. If a person cannot do the mitzvah, you know. People, that, you know, that's you're allowed to say. It's a mitzvah to say. But things that have nothing to do, that he had a terrible, people have asked me, he had a terrible youth and he was a teenager. He went off the derech for a Friday out and no one knows about him. Why do you, that's your business. People change. He was a teenager, had a hard time. You know, you're not allowed to say that.
In regard to a shidduch, if you're doing like research, you have to say like all the medical conditions somebody has.
You don't have to say, but if he asks you, you should say. You don't have to. But a person has a right to know, I'm getting married to this person, what's the medical issues? If there is any medical issues, of course.
If after you get married and you find out, like, let's say, if you said diabetes, you gotta consider him.
Oh, that's a maker's tools, because if he has diabetic. Yeah, but it's very hard life. It's extremely, very often they cannot be mekayem the mitzvah. I was once the Delta sister. You have to know how he did it. You know, not chashu mitzvahs, because they could do it artificially. There's ways to do it differently. Yeah, well, yeah, and it could be he has a very mild. So he has very mild. One of the things, who's, and anyone a doctor over here? Anyone knows about medical things? I know, I've read a letter about it, the diabetics have a, or the woman is diabetic, you know, after you get married, there's very little to do, because she could have children, but she can't have many children. It's a fact. A woman who's diabetic cannot have a house full of children, because she has to wait until she gets pregnant, until the body gets in. So before they get married, you should say, after you get married, it's very difficult, because he's not, it's a big machlik is if she could demand a get even. Not so clear about that. But before people call you up at the shidduch and ask you directly, do you know any illnesses in the family? So, you know what I love? I always tell this in my shul to people. No one ever asked me, like middle of a daf, a brent, a schmooze, I say, when young people get together and there's a hot, how do you say in English?
A bull session conversation.
And so all of a sudden, you know, am I allowed to say this? No one ever called me. But you know when they call me? If I'm allowed to say by shidduch, and 99% you're allowed to say. That someone called me, they have to say that I know there's a mental illness in the family. That's all the people want to know. And I said, I don't know, I don't think so. And I hang up and I said, you should have said. The person has the right to know. You know, the right to make, find out, want to make such a shidduch. If he didn't ask you, you don't have to say. But if he asked you, you should say. That's when people get so frum, by shidduch, where you're allowed to say. And even if you don't have to say, if you said it before, there's nothing wrong. There's really nothing. If you really didn't mind to hurt anyone, just don't mind to inform. A person has a right to know, am I marrying someone with a mental illness in the family? Doesn't mean that the person is bad. Just people claim that this is a, runs the families, whatever. But people, it's amazing, but it comes to other things that people never ask. And it's something geschmack, something burning. So anyways, Lushan Hara is a terrible thing. I mean, One of the things that is Ma'akev Mashiach. I don't know if you know that, but the Rabban Al-Tayran, the Chutzheim Nagdum explains it, that the Gemara says Mashiach cannot come with Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam gets fueled always with Lashon Hara. Sinas Chinam. Hate for no reason. It doesn't mean Sinas Chinam doesn't mean I look at you and I don't like the way you look. It doesn't mean Sinas Chinam means the Gemara says Sinas Chinam means that he doesn't have a Torah degree reason to hate him. Most fights that people have, there is silly things that you did invite him, disinvite him, he said this about me, he didn't say this about me. You know, if you find, watch how society works, it's silly things. But if no one would have talked about it, it would have gone away. You know, I mean, that's sinus venom, that tells you.
Let's say, as a Kiva student, us discussing that, is that a problem?
That's the Chofetz Chaim asked this question. He's asking a very good question. We discussed in the Tamid Reb Kiva who died, or the Gemara Tzorgza. The reason we discussed it, because it teaches us an incredible lesson. What lack of respect does for people. Look what happened. Yeah, if there's an important lesson to be learned, yes, you're allowed to say. You know, all the stories is only said because there's a lesson to be learned. But if there's no lesson to be learned, if you saw the guy eat the McDonald's or you saw all this. Okay. But this is why it's so delicate, what he was saying. We cannot believe it, but you have to say, maybe it's true. You never know, maybe it's true. And yeah, you know, it's a very, very painful, difficult thing. You cannot, let's say someone says, Reuven ben Yankov is a molester. So I can't take it at face value. Yeah, well, proof what? Yeah, you saw a video of him doing it? You know, what is proof? It's very hard to prove such a thing. So the person, well, so five people can make up the story? I mean, how do you allow, see, this is important. Iman spoke about it, what he's asking. See, the question is, you want to put the guy into jail, a molester. So always the question is, what he's asking, how do we know? The person that it happened to knows it's true. He should put him into jail. He has the right to report him. I cannot put him into jail. Why do I know if it's true? But the person who happened to him knows it's true. They should go and report it to the police.
So if a kid does it to another adult because the kid doesn't have the capacity to do that,
just then father,
the adult has to take
him. Yes, the adult, the father should take the child. I told the father to take the child and have it reported to the police. He was about 14, 15 years old. No, that's true. And I want to tell you something. I hear it so often. Just this person who called me this week. People who are molested suffer a lifetime thing. You know, it's like if people describe it to me. It's like they have become handicapped. Literally, it's not like, you know, I never studied, never knew it how. But speaking to people, to victims, he just told me this happened to his wife. I mean, the kid is, very often they cannot be intimate. Just can't be intimate with his wife. She sometimes has flashbacks. So it destroys, this is 20 years later, destroys people. I tell people, try to imagine there's a guy who has the Yetzer Hara, sneaks into yeshivas and cuts people's legs off. We would kill him. We wouldn't think twice. Or he sneaks into yeshivas and poisons the food. Oh, look, there's serial mishigasim. This is his serial mishigasim. No one would think twice if you're out. The rule is, when it gets to sex, people become uncomfortable. If you take the sex out of the picture, then you look at it without the HR. This guy, he likes to break people's bones. You wouldn't think twice if you have a guy sneaking in yeshiva and breaking the children's bones. You wouldn't think twice, you know, just wouldn't have gone to place, you would kill him himself. Yes? Yeah, it's something that it has, it's something, exactly. It's something that you, myself, the first time someone told me how terrible it is, it was like shocking. I mean, it's, unless you're educated, you have no idea how bad it is. Okay. Again, Ezeruchel, Zeshetoyen, Dvudem, Hoydik, Mezelazom, Kafakachum, Ploini, Kafakach, Shmapia, Ploini. This is what he said, and this is what I heard about him. Apishiemes! Ba'enid Vudem, Shigenai, Klau. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be something that's disgusting. The Gamein Oisipolin Machishikla doesn't deny it. He doesn't deny it. The story about Doig, you know, the story was David ran away from Shul and ran to the city of Noiv Irikahanam. And they saved him. David was hungry, he didn't know what to eat. He went days that he was on the run. That's where the Gemara learns when a person is leaving, always give him food. That's the famous Gemara that you should take food. The Dovid ran without food. And he came to Noiv, Irikahana, and they gave him bread from the lechem upon him. And Doig was there. And he went and told it to Shul. And you know what Shul does? And Shul said they should kill the city of Noiv, Irikahana. And no one wanted to do it. And you know what killed him? No, Doig. Doig lost his whole Oilam Haba. Oilam Haza, Oilam Haba. Because he killed the city of Noiv Irikahana. Because Shul told him to do it.
But he had an obligation.
No, not if the king says against the Torah. Avnei refused to do it. Avnei was also asked to do it. And other soldiers, they refused to do it. But Doik was, you know, he spoke to Lashon. They said, you know, it's Lashon Hara, Mechateisa. They didn't want to do it. And they said, maybe the city Taka didn't know. And Avnei died a horrific death. You know, Avnei died a horrific death. You know history. Yoav killed Avnei, died a horrific death, because he could have stopped them. He could have stopped Doeg. He was much stronger than Doeg, and he could have stopped Doeg not doing it. You know, he was, I'm not going to do it. You know, we all have this attitude. I am not doing it. If you want to do it, I would say this, you can do it. The Torah says, no, that's not good enough. Not if you're not allowed to do it, you got to stop the guy from doing it. Avni died in horrific death, according to one Mandumer. He didn't stop doing. He was, how do you say in English, passive. He was not proactive. So he says, "Er is a machri v'es oydim shemazei yicholu l'pumen in eshvich es dumen k'ma sh'omer ma'asa doig en achimelech." Unbelievable. Then he says, "I'm a kabloi." Then the Rav says, "Nanish yoisa min omrim." The one who accepts it gets punished more. Ela erim came ruid v'udim anikurim. Unless, this is what you were asking before. What's the first name? Yeah. David asked this. Well, unless you have proof that it's true. There's not proof. Dvarim hanikurim. Doesn't have to be proof. Circumstances that shows that is the truth. He says, you see, I want to tell you something very, very important. Just because a person puts up a scream and doesn't mean they're saying the truth. I've heard this argument. You know when the Torah we see someone scream doesn't mean the truth? Ashes Poitiper was screaming, "Rapist!" And she's holding the shirt. I even have proof. Everyone, do you know the Medrash says that everyone believed her? You know who didn't believe her? Ask me, why didn't he believe her? She knew Yosef was a tzaddik. But she was screaming, "Rapist!" I don't know how in court it works. Ashes Potiphar.
Yeah.
She wanted to sin with him, and he rejected her.
Yeah, right.
You know, he had the news, the guy gets rejected, and then they go cuckoo. So she went cuckoo, and she started screaming.
How did Potiphar know that Yosef was
a tzaddik? He knows he was a tzaddik.
Right.
The Medrash don't say that. The Medrash says. That's what the Medrash says. Sure. No, but this is very important. But people think that a guy put up such a, how do you say in English, a trask, such a, man, probably, how would he lie? Well, that's not true. Okay. Mekabel in Nana Shoysim in Omri. He says about the truth. Let me explain this. This is a Gemara. The Gemara says like this. A guy says, you know, once upon a time, you didn't have fire like we have. Just turn on the, you know, gas range, or fire. You have to get fire. See, the Gemara says, where could you get fire in this neighborhood? He says, over that house, they eat all day long. And it depends about how you say it. If you say it in a derogatory way, you know, these are volatilis. You know, they eat all day long. It's not the worst thing. It's just, it's not a nice thing. Then it's Lashon Hara. But if you guys say, waken, you know, that house, there was a big family, and probably there's fire there. If you say they're different, since the whole time explains it, it's how you say it. You know what a nigger means? How you say it out with your mouth. You say it in a not nice way. The same thing two people will say. One could say it in a nice way. One could say it in a very... that's what he's saying. B'chlal ha'av, not b'shum. He says in a way, sh'neschaven v'ganois, sh'bezoy lebus l'umoy, he always eats meat. That's very, very bad. The Shemra is the worst of Eidah. Now he says, Echad Hamasap is Lushan Rambam, Lushan Ara Bifna Chaveiroi, or Shleb Bifuna. Very often people think I'm allowed to speak Lushan Ara in front of him. I heard this more than once. I said it in front of him. That's not Lushan Ara, it's even worse. You know, I mean, you really, he says, and Masapit Vurim, Shigarmim, Imnishmi, Ishmi Pish, Lahazik Chaveiroi. If you say something which could be causing hazik, damage, Begifoi Bamamoinoi, Zmani Oizbar, Oletzaroi, pain, Olafchidoi to frighten him, Avapishain Vurim Shiganai Al Chaveiroi, it's not my resolution order. It's very, very, very important. You know, and also, that means Lashon Hara, anything is what you say about someone. If it gets to the person, it might cause them pain. Doesn't mean emotional pain. You're not allowed to say it. And even though, you know, even if it's true, and even if it's your own wife. I got married, my wife could complain to me, like I said, I don't want to speak Lashon Hara. She said, 90% of the things you cut out. But we don't talk about people, what are you going to talk about? What are you talking about? Someone gave me, told me, I never like to quote a goy, but this is so profound. He quoted I'll soon tell you who the goy was. He said, smart minds speak about ideas. Average minds speak about events, and small minds speak about people. So, to, you know who said it? The President Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor, what is his name?
Eleanor
Roosevelt. Someone told me. It's a million things. I said this over recently at my Shabbos table. Like, I didn't want to tell you you're speaking Lashon Hara. I said, you know what Eleanor Roosevelt said? Let me tell you what she said. It's a powerful thing. It says, smart minds try to talk about ideas, and average minds talk about events, and small minds talk about people. That's why I said this all. Once went to the doctor's office, and I forgot my safer. I thought I'll find something to eat. Everything is in the people, us, all of Michigan. I asked the doctor, used to come to the office, used to find a National Geographic, such a Time maybe, something, I don't know. He said, what should I do? That's all people want, is Lashon Hara. He was a non-religious doctor, a Jewish doctor. You know Lashon Hara, that's all people want. Those people are very simple, are very small-minded, and they like to speak gossip. You know, it's very, very frightening.
People say something negative about themselves.
Chofetz Chaim writes, the son of the Chofetz Chaim writes an interesting story. Chofetz Chaim was going on the train, and the guy asked him, where are you from? He says, from Radin. You know, the good Lador, the big tzaddik, he's such a machine of the good tzaddik. He's not such a tzaddik. And the guy was a Hasidic guy. Right, and he gave him a patch. You know, he gave him. And now, Chofetz Chaim said, you hit him, are you talking about the good Lador? Got on the train, and everyone came to greet him. Guy fainted. Chofetz Chaim used to say afterwards, I used to think you're not talking Lashon Hara about yourself. I learned you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara about yourself. Neither. But Peter, that maybe he said it that way because there's no Issa Lashon Hara. You're allowed to hurt yourself. Person's allowed to hurt themselves. That's the famous Gemara, Mishnah Bava Kama. Gemara says a guy went over to a lady and took over Tichon. So Kiva Machayvim 400, and one time he tricked her. He gave oil and she took it off herself. So a person wants to insult himself, he's allowed to. But you're not allowed to insult him. You know, it's always that way. When you insult yourself, it might be bad, but it's not so bad. You know, when I criticize myself, that's okay. When you criticize me, that's the worst thing. I mean, I don't know. When I criticize myself, that's okay. But don't you ever point out what's wrong with me. You know, that's
so.
Yeah, if you know that he's lazy, not so, if.
I'm heard of this guy.
No, that's very important. You know he worked for you and he's a lazy guy. Okay? The guy calls him, people have asked the same question, and call your reference, and this guy desperately needs a panasa. And the guy calls your reference. You have to tell the truth, because he, just like he was lazy by you and didn't do the job, he's going to be lazy by him. You can't help him by hurting someone else. You know? I ask you, what time does he get out of bed, the Bocher? People ask me that. In Yiddish we say, he gets out of bed when the bed spits him out. You know what the Yiddish is saying? So, you know, if a guy like that, the guy wants to know. You don't have to tell him, but if a guy wants to know what type of a boy, he asks you, does he get up and down with me? It doesn't make a difference, but if someone asks, they have a right to know. That's what I'm trying to say. If they ask, they have a right to know. They want to know what type of a boy is. Yeah, but only if it's negayah. You're not allowed to say.
My duty is that if you're asking something about someone else, that's negayah.
Right.
Even though if I say.
He's not going to get a job. Right.
My duty is to you to ask if it's negayah.
Right. But if it's not negayah, I'm just gossiping. Did this guy have an affair? What is a negayah for you? You know, people ask all these questions. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, Recently, one of my children wanted to know if this, what's going on about someone, and says, "I'm sure they talk to you." Yeah, but you know that I never say that. You know, that's one of the rabbi's hardships. You know what the Gemara says? Let me tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, from 1,000 people, there's only one out of 1,000 people know how to keep a secret. You know this Gemara? It's very important to know this Gemara. One out of 1,000 people know how to keep a secret. That means that is 1.001%. So Gemara and Yevamos, one out of 1,000 people. The Medrash adds to it, and when he's also buried. This is the Medrash. It's a Medrash. Yeah. But the Gemara says, one out of 1,000 people know how to keep a secret. I always say over there, when it was the 25th anniversary of President Kennedy being shot, I was on the plane, the guy sitting next to me, and it was a modern author guy, darshaning away, conspiracy, and he was just darshaning away to me that I have to. So I tell him, look, I don't read, I don't know all the details, having a fat book. Let me tell you what the Talmud says, they want to hear the Gemara, yeah, what are they? One out of 1,000 people keep a secret. You got to tell me that no one stole the secrets, you only know, no one knows how to keep a secret, especially if it's a hot secret, and for sure. You know, I tell you, to my children growing up, if you tell your friend not to say, guaranteed they're going to say. If you don't tell them not to say, there's a hope they're not going to say. Because once you tell them it's a secret, then it's a hot potato. That's especially it's hard to say. Yep, but you don't. Then you're not supposed to say. Not obligated. You're not obligated to say. Not obligated to say. But are you obligated to say, because he said, "This is very, very important," because. That's a separate issue. No, that's a separate issue. That's true. That's a separate issue. But he's asking, halachic speaking, is he obligated? He's not obligated. That's a separate issue. He could say, "I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't in the business." You could always get out of it. But let's say the guy would call him up, a Yiddish guy would call him. Does he come late? You know, does he do his job? And he works for him. So if another Jewish person, he can't say, I'm not in the business all day long, someone else is running the business, he has to say the truth. But someone not Jewish calls him up, he could say, I have no idea. You could avoid it. See, that's why Lushan Hara is so difficult, because sometimes you're obligated to say, and sometimes you cannot even utter a word what happened. That's why it's so, so difficult, and it's such an important halacha.
It seems like, let's say with the job, for example, person wants to make it sound good, they can make it sound good. Did he come late? I think I have seen him come late, I've seen him come on time.
Yeah, that's true, but the guy wants to know the truth. If it's a Yiddish person, he says, does he keep the job? Does he come on time?
If you're fired off, you don't tell him the truth that you're responsible?
Yeah, you are responsible. If he loses money, yes. Api Toira, Dina Shemaim, if the guy lost money because of him, secular could also.
So what if you don't want a referral to a lawyer, doctor, carpenter, whatever? You're also supposed to say what the entity is
determined for. Right. The guy asks you, is he a good plumber? Is he a good electrician?
Yeah.
I always tell people. Someone asked me exactly. Someone asked me, Mamish, about such a, many years ago, I had someone fixing my house, and he was a handyman in the community, and I just listened. He asked me, he said, I did not have a good experience. Could be just because he wanted to give me, you know, if you don't pay well, you pay well, and then I was I'm a clay Kurdish, maybe that's why, but I didn't have a good experience. I have no idea. Maybe he does a great job if he gets paid well, but I know.
You're not obligated to say if they don't ask.
No, you're not obligated to say. He didn't ask. Unless you know that he did not just, he sells, you know, I remember there's another case in New York. It was a guy was selling secondhand, he was selling refrigerators. And what he was doing, he was getting damaged goods and selling those first. And I said to people, you have to tell people. You just, you know, because, you know, once it's delivered, you're going to have it undelivered. You know, people are, He would, how could he sell so cheap? He would buy ready that comes from the factory, a little damage, and he would sell it. So you're not going to tell people he's selling, and not. If imagine you have a store down the block, and he sells sour milk, and no one knows, and he plans to sell it. Like if I put up a sign, do not buy the milk down the block from this grocery, he says, oh, you're doing a mitzvah. Because most people, you come home, the milk is out, yeah, I'm going to go back. Yeah. Especially if you have a big family, who's going to go back into the sound? But that doesn't mean that he's cheating. He's allowed to say. The same thing, unfortunately, is with the Talmud Chacham. You have a guy who doesn't know halacha, and he gets the pastor's shalas, and you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's very challenging for me. Sometimes I hear sometimes people say things, and you know, I ask the guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, but he's a rabbi. He's Rabbi Vishu, and he has to answer questions. Yes?
Why are you not obligated to say what you know when the person who asks is not Jewish?
Well, you know, obligated, you could say, but you're not obligated, because they don't have an obligation to tell me, neither. It's not of the Sheva Mitzvahs. A goy is not. The goy didn't tell me. He just says you could sue him, but he's not. Did he see a terrible person? He didn't say no. They don't have that obligation, so we have no obligation for them neither. You know, because since they don't have that obligation, we don't have the obligation to them. It works two ways. You're not obligated. You're not obligated. If you told them nothing wrong,
you're not
obligated to say the truth. And there's nothing wrong if you did say. You're not obligated. And the reason you're not obligated, because he's also not obligated to sell, when I would call him, you know, to say. Okay. So he says that Rav Echad Masapir Belushnor Bifnei Chaveroi Eshloi Bifunov. Doesn't make it if you said it in front of him and not in front of him. Sapir Dvun Shigar Menishmi, and we said this, Oilav Chidoi Abishenin. So if you say, you know, and I said it over last week, I think. Someone many years ago told me a frightening story. There was a Jewish professor. Remember someone explained it to me, a guy who went to college, and she was his professor, said that when she was a young 19-year-old, she was raped. Simple as that, on the campus. She was an outgrown woman, and she wrote a paper, and someone put out a rumor that, how does it called? Plagiarism? How do you say it in English? Plagiarism. And it was horrible. And it was later proven, but much later, it took a while, that it's not true. That was just someone was jealous of her. So she said, explained to students, that rape was much worse than the rape of being raped. The plagiarism was a lot more painful. I was shocked. I would have thought being raped is the worst thing. But this lady said that her whole name, and she was like the whole college amongst the professors, and then it took straightened out. But you know how these things get straightened out? No, the Lushan Hara stays there. There was a famous story, one of the Rebbe's, I don't remember which Rebbe's, a very, very famous story I heard when I was young, and I read it also once. So the guy was Shtikam Mechutzeh, was Moitzeh La'at on the Rebbe. And he came to the Rebbe, asked him, he should be Moicholim. The Rebbe says, come, Motzei Shabbos, I want you to bring me the two pillows that you sleep on. Motzei Shabbos, he came to the Rebbe's house. The Rebbe told him, let's go outside. He told him, cut the two pillows in half. He cuts the two pillows in half, and all the feathers went flying. He says, when you collect all the feathers, I'll be Moichinu. What does that mean? Feathers, clever. He says, the Lushan Hara, he said, got into everyone's mind. Well, you're gonna fix it and get it out of everyone's mind. I should moicha you, people walk around, you know, with all the Lushan Haras. So this was a chiddush to me that a lady could say that was much, much more painful. The moitzi laz. How do you say moitzi laz?
The
denial afterwards hurts much more than the abuse of that. How do you say moitzi laz? How do you say moitzi laz in English? How do you say Moitzilaz in English?
Defaming.
Defaming a person is much, much more painful than being abused, so to say.
Is that
Right. You become a public shame. That's why when Amal Bnei Chayre Baram Ein Lechelik Leulam Haba. It's a very frightening thing. Also very important, let me say another very important halacha, the Chofetz Chaim speaks a lot about it. Often, people make an avla, a corrupt thing, more than really it is. We work with emotions, we don't work with the halacha. You know what I mean? You know, a guy could do a small thing, and act like this thing, yeah, he's a gangster, people come to me, and yeah, he's a gangster, and why did he do it? But a guy has to give me a whole introduction that I know it can't be too much. Because he has to say, interwelding, and a whole Agdumas Milam. Agdumas Milam, a whole introduction. Then usually it turns out he did nothing. Because he could just say, the guy stole money from me without. But very often he did something, maybe he shouldn't, it's not Yoshidik. No, but Yoshidik doesn't mean he stole, he should have not done it, he should have asked me. One time a guy came to the interior, and it's also a whole introduction. What was it? He went in competition with him. That's it. And in the streets they spread, he's a ganav, and he spread, he's a ganav. He just went into competition. He's allowed to go in competition. The people have asked me today, it's the second time this week. A person, is competing with another from person on the internet. Today the world is a small, even though he doesn't live in that city, it doesn't make a difference. Everything is, how's it called? People have websites to sell, whatever it's called. There's no issue to go on competition. Nothing. But often, that's also in Hilchos Lashon Hara, when people sometimes make a small thing out of who knows what. There's a famous story, I remember which rabbi this was, that the Spachoike started, that one of the Chassidim said that he ate on Tisha B'Av. Yeah, on Tisha B'Av. So the rabbi heard the Mishnah says, I want you to swear. He swore that he ate on Tisha B'Av. And then later, this guy who did the Shua became sick and he lost his wife and he begged the guy to Machila. So he asked him, like, well, how did you swear? You know why? It was Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Shabbos. Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos. Could be, I read it young. Yeah. So this is how it works. So you have to remember, I'm sure you all have this experience. Someone tells you Lashon Hara, and then you hear the other side of the story. It's a whole different world. All you have to leave out is, and it doesn't make, I'm going to say it doesn't make a difference to your own wife. My wife gets agitated with me one time, but it doesn't make a difference. Sometimes they don't say over things, and women work with emotions, and I will tell you a good story. I had my permission from my wife to say over the story. How emotions work. I come home one day, and she tells me that I have to help this lady who's pregnant. What's the story with this lady? She says like this. A guy in my community has a house and rented out to this lady, she's pregnant, and a young lady, and charged much less rent than a normal thing, said with the condition that if the son comes home, Pesach, or whatever, it was sick as a Pesach, if I could convince him to stay here, not go back to Lakewood, I need a house. I need it back. You should move out. You move out. And what is the chances? My son is as stubborn as I am. He tells the couple, he's as stubborn. I'm as stubborn as my son. Every time he comes home, we have this fight. He goes back to Lakewood to learn. He's married. And the chances are 90% he's not going to. It's not. The chances are very small. So, and this lady goes and paints the house. And it's, I think, before Pesach, or Chol Hamoed Pesach, I forgot the day, calls this lady up, and he says, you have to move my son. She was beside herself, the man. come home, my wife tells me, you got to help him. And my wife, she tells me, look, I tell my wife, normally I need to hear the other side of the story. I have nothing to even hear the other side of the story. She says, the story it is. He said clearly that there's a small chance. Later he said, just one chance. He said to her, normally I always know what's on the other side. But my wife, my woman, I don't work out. I don't work with emotions. You mean this pregnant lady has to move out now? Yeah, she has to move out. But she painted the house. She painted the house. What can I do? She painted the house. In life, you know, that's how often Lucian Hutter's work. Guy throws in all the emotions, and he could have thought that who knows what he did. People sometimes know how to do this. Sometimes they could talk about a silly thing and put emotions, teenagers especially, if you watch anyone else, teenagers, they could make it sound like the teacher beat the daylights out of them. You know what I mean? People don't know how to throw out such emotions. That's what Chofetz Chaim says. You have to know in Lushen Hara, what is the real, what is, it was a novel, what is it? It's not the end of the world. You know, often people, you know, a guy, a mushroom. A guy asked me about a shidduch. But I hear he's a tough businessman. He's not an honest guy. He's just very tough. I never heard anything that he cheated anyone. You know, he's a tough businessman. Comes to business, he's very tough. You owe me the money, you have to pay me. And otherwise, I'm not going to send you a script. I mean, does business with a lot of Eden, but this doesn't mean he's a bad person. See, in the street, he's called this tough businessman. They didn't mean tough, study stuff. In Lashon Hara, it's an incredible important to know exactly what was said. And doesn't mean the one who cries the most is people always feel like he must be crying, it must be a terrible thing. Anyone has children, right? You know, young children, and they're fighting. We all know the one who's crying sometimes is full of baloney. You know, if you're smart enough, you know, he knows how to get the tension. It doesn't mean that he's right. I mean, okay. So he says, in Namri, the Rav says, in Namri, Dvorim halu ili v'pne shloishik, kwa nishma adu v'no idu, sipar du v'achem v'ne shloishik, v'am ches, ein boi m'ne shloishan hora, says the Rav, the solution of Rambam, m'sho yischav v'na hava rekar g'loisi yoisa. This is what you were asking before. The solution Rambam. If three people know about it, and if you said it, it's not Lushen Hara, with one condition, you didn't mean to spread it more. The Chofetz Chaim has a whole arichas to explain what this means exactly. It means if you want to just spread the Lushen Hara more, that's terrible also. I mean, you said it in a conversation, it came out, then it's not so bad if people know. If he said it in front of everyone, I don't want you to say it over, that's Lushen Hara. Mad would have been meaning Kisapi from the Chaveroi, from the Shloshu, from the Shesh, from the Shemush, and all the Oymi, Kishal, and the Vishal, Kantra, Genai. That's what Bekitsi is saying. The next piece is only things that are Lushen Hara. Things that are not Lushen Hara, which could be interpreted Lushen Hara, but it's not really Lushen Hara, then there's nothing wrong to say it over. Like he said, the guy's looking for fire. Where can I find fire now? He said this already before. So Bekitsi, the rule of it is, you know, we have to get on. The Litvish always asks me why the Chassidish Yisroel don't talk about so much about Lushen Hara. So I always say to them, I tell you why. It's very hard to heal yourself Lushen Hara if you don't have a Havas Chenum. The Chassidish Yisroel speak a lot, love everyone. If you really love everyone, then you're not going to speak Lushen Hara. Lushen Hara, you always speak if you don't love everyone. Or most often people speak Lushen Hara makes them feel good. I always tell myself, if I would feel great, then no Lushen Hara. I always get this motion, I think I said it once here before. Imagine a bunch of young people sitting and gossiping, you know, the guy's having an affair, you know, it's a gossip. A guy gets a phone call from his wife and he tells him, you know what, we just won the lottery, but don't tell anyone. I don't want any Ein Haras. He puts back the phone to his pocket and looks around his friends and he says, why are we gossiping? And the friends ask him, who, the Chofetz Chaim just called you? What happened over here? You know, if you want $50 million, who the heck cares what the guy did? What about the guy? Right now, you don't feel good about yourself, so you like to hear the Lushen Hara. You like to hear, this guy's not honest, this guy's this guy's that. When a person feels great about himself, there's much less room in Lushen Hara to go there. Okay.
Two people are talking about someone.
but they both know the entire story already. There's nothing new being shared, but they're speaking about it.
So the Chofetz Chaim says that if he talks about it, he springs that Rabbein Yoni says that he brings a machlokes Rishonim, says according to Rabbein Yoni you shouldn't do it. You teach yourself to speak gossip, he says. That's what he says. Okay.